Greetings, Fox. My name is Scott Erickson, and I am happy to be with you this morning on All Saints Day. Woo! Right? Maybe some of you didn't know, but All Saints Day is the hangover day after Halloween. But it is a day to celebrate, traditionally and historically, to celebrate the women and men who have come before us, who have passed on, but to celebrate their lives. Because in celebrating their lives, we see that we're part of this great cloud of witnesses, of people who have encountered a mysterious God and are on that journey to know and love God with our lives. And as part of this human community that has been trying to know and understand God in our lives throughout history, I want to talk about something that happens, I guess, to all of us. I have been doing this study myself about that vulnerability is the place that we connect with God. I've been thinking a lot about this because I came out with a book called Honest Advent. This is my meditation on that Christ came into our midst through human vulnerability, and the place that we encounter the incarnate Christ is still through human vulnerability. And I know we're not into Advent yet, so we're not going to do anything about this, but I have been thinking a lot and going through the scriptures about where are all the places of vulnerability. And I was describing this to this woman recently who I met at a book signing, and she was like, well, what about shame? What do we do about shame? So today I kind of want to talk about shame, and I want to look at a story where a woman encounters her shame, and I think there's something for us that, for all of the saints in her interaction with Jesus. So in this passage in Luke 7, we have the story of Jesus having dinner at a Pharisee's house, and this woman comes in and washes his feet with her tears and pours perfume on it, right? Now, let's talk about the setting for a second. In ancient times, when a visiting rabbi would come into a town, often the teachers, the spiritual teachers of that town, would invite the rabbi to come over to their house and have a meal together. And it was quite common for people of the town to come and listen in. Like, people would be around the house or even maybe around the table to eavesdrop. It was kind of like early forms of podcasting, because you have this great visiting teacher coming in. The other teachers want to know. They'd have a discussion. It was all very exciting, right? So there's this gathering of people to hear Jesus talk and to experience his teaching. Now, the great scandal of this story is that Jesus forgives sins. What? I know! Isn't that crazy? He forgives sins. But you gotta understand what forgiving sins meant in that moment. I mean, it might not seem super significant to us, but that's because we don't live in a temple society. You gotta understand that back then, forgiving sins meant you got an animal, and you, like a pet, and you took that animal to the temple, and then you like took care of it, and you poured the blood out, and you did, that's how you forgave sins. And everybody sitting at that table is part of that system. So Jesus to forgive sins of this woman is like bypassing this whole system. And that is the scandal of this story. And so then we have this woman who is described as a sinner. Look, everybody there is a sinner, you know, like everybody there, nobody there was perfect. Everybody there had like their own stuff. So it wasn't saying like this woman is not a human being. What was it? It was inferring is that there was probably something that this woman was doing in society that was questionable or unpleasant to the religious elite. It doesn't say that she was sexually immoral. It doesn't say that she was like a lady of the night or a loose woman. This isn't a story about loose women, all right? But it is in the translation. You can infer that because of what's going on. Let's get into that a little bit. Like, it says that she's a heathen, and so maybe she is a person who uses her body to make a living. But, you know, people who are in that kind of industry, like, I've never met an 8-year-old who is just like, I'd like to make money by offering my body to other people later on in my life. Like, it takes a lot of things to go wrong in your life to end up in that kind of occupation. So we're not talking about just some like like scandalous woman who doesn't care about anything. We're talking about a woman who's been beat down and has had a difficult go. And even if she isn't a person who does the kind of trade that she uses her body to do that, it says that she's a heathen, which could mean that she's maybe not Jewish and she's a Gentile. She's not partaking in the sin offering system that society has going on. Maybe she's not partaking in it because she's not Jewish, but maybe also she can't afford it? When you went to the temple to sacrifice an animal, it was preferred that you would use a lamb, but you could also, if you were poor or like a professional artist, you could buy a dove or a pigeon. In fact, the three gospel accounts when Jesus goes into the temple and like clears it out of the money changers, they all say specifically he goes to the tables that they're selling doves, because like he's saying, why are you standing in the way? Why are you standing in the way of people coming to do their stuff with God? This system wasn't working for this woman. Either she couldn't afford it, she wasn't allowed to come, or where she found herself in her life, she wasn't partaking in it. And yet she hears Jesus, his teaching. We don't really know, but she ends up at this live podcast at this Pharisee's house with a gift. She's like, I'm going to bring whatever I have, the best thing I can have, I'm going to bring. She has some perfume and she decides I'm going to go and I'm going to offer this gift to some good news that I've heard. And so this is where we need to use our imagination a bit. It says in the scripture that like the woman comes up behind Jesus and washes his feet. And that seems weird. And he's just like, well, sitting down, like, what's this going on? But no, but like back then, people, because their feet were really dusty and dirty and stuff, they kind of had this like whole lounging thing going on. So they have like a middle table and everybody would kind of lean on their side like this and their feet, oh, I can't reach it there, would be up out towards the outside of the table. So everybody would be around this table all facing in and their feet would be on the outside. So here's this woman who's got this gift, and there's probably a crowd of people around. Like, think how intimidating that would be. To go, I'm going to approach this person I've never met and I'm going to anoint his feet with perfume. Like, think of the courage. I mean, she could have been really freaked out and just being like, I'm going to do it. You know, if I was in that moment and I was strategizing it, I would be like peeking around the corner like, I see Jesus. Okay, I'm going to do this, plan it, walk, do it, just do it, and then I'm done, right? Kind of this, okay, I got a plan. But there's only one problem with the plan that she has, and that is that she has assumed that Jesus' feet have already been washed. It was standard for a visiting guest to come into a house that somebody would have washed his feet clean. In fact, at the end, he says to the Pharisees, like, you didn't give me water to wash my feet. So this woman is anticipating that his feet are washed because she's going to pour the perfume on top of his clean feet. To pour perfume on dirty feet would be to waste the perfume. And so she's here and she makes her bold move and comes into the room and then is going to like wash his feet. And then what is she confronted with? She's confronted with Jesus's dirty feet. And she's like, I have this gift. I am going to wash. I didn't come prepared with a basin of water and a towel to wash his feet. His feet are dirty. I can't give this gift. I don't have anything to clean his feet. All I have is my body. All I have is my body. You don't know what I've done with my body. That's not good enough. It's not enough. And then tears come down her face, and she uses those tears and her body to wash his feet and give the gift. We're told in the beginning, in the Genesis poem, that there's a woman and a man and they eat of this fruit and then they feel shame. They feel shame. And then the God, who's very aware of where they're at, comes to them and says, why are you hiding from me? See, shame hides us from connection. Shame is the argument and the assumption that we're not okay anymore and that I have to do something else to earn love. I'm not enough as it is. This isn't good enough. And it's been studied over and over again that we actually hold shame in our bodies. It isn't just a cognitive mind experience. It's very, you feel it in your body. I know you have. You felt that shame, that closed offness, that hiding, that moment where you want to walk away. And shame and guilt are real feelings. But the conclusions that they draw are lies. And that conclusion is that there's something now that can keep me from love. And that is not true. There's nothing that can keep us from the love of God. So what happens? What do we do then when we come across shame? Instead of viewing it as a wall that's keeping us from God, we can view it as the doorway that is connecting us right to God. The very vulnerable doorway that is getting to the deep conversations about our identity, our history, where we find ourselves now, our inadequacy, all of that. And on the other side, God's loving voice coming to us going, "You are my beloved. I see you." God in the garden was like, "I see you. Why are you hiding from me?" And then Jesus turns to this Pharisee and goes, "Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman?" Because Jesus does. And he sees her heart and her desire and her willingness to do a courageous step forward to go, "I want to connect with love. I want to connect with you." And he says, "You don't have to partake in the system that isn't working for you. That heart's desire has forgiven everything." So on this All Saints Day, can we remember that every human being ever, woman and man, has experienced shame in their body? And that never was the thing keeping us from God. It was the lie that made us think it was, but it wasn't. It's actually a doorway to a deeper conversation with the God who knows us, loves us, and sees us. Grace and peace.